Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's edition of Raising Expectations. And we're so glad that you've joined us tonight. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to have you with us. And as you know, we consider you part of the family. We never take for granted who you are, and thank God always that you tune in and follow us. Thanks for the questions and the things that you share, and know that we're always praying for you. We're all believers. We know that God's got a plan for our lives, and we're excited about that. And that planning has always raises our expectations as we go from one victory to another, watching God work in our lives. And so often the things that seem difficult, they're just precursors for some great things that God has in store for each and every one of us, from our jobs to our families to our friends to our nation to the world. He can shine his life through us. We believe that, as you know, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That means they're paid for, that we're going to heaven someday, and in the meantime, he walks with us all the way. Great to belong to him. We've got a great show planned for you tonight, and as you know, we've got a great team, too. They bless my life all the time, and you know me. I'm Pastor Joe. This is my wife, Melba, right here, and she'll be jumping in there with us also. She is a children's specialist, working with children and many things like that also. Telephone specialist, too. She does my computer a lot better than I do. But in any event, we're going to move from where we are right now very quickly so you can see the team again. Many of you ask each and every week, now, who is that one again? Who is that one? Let's go to the West Coast, all the way just north of Santa Barbara to Lompoc, California. And that's where we have Dr. Paul Hall. And Dr. Paul and I, we've been good friends in ministry for a long time. And Paul is a retired pastor. He's a counselor. He's a speaker. Paul has done just about everything and continues. Old pastors never die. We just shift gears, right, Paul?
Exactly right.
Exactly. So if the water rises there, he's under a water alert right now. Well, just let us know. We'll go from there. Make sure you're okay. Grab the bookcase on the way out there, Paul, and that'll be good. So Paul and I are moving along. Moving along from West California there all the way back to the East Coast, the south part of the East Coast, we find in Dalton, Georgia, Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. And Stephanie and Craig are living examples of what it means to walk with the Lord, because everybody meets them, loves them. So many people know this couple. They've done so much for so many. Stephanie is a great counselor with ladies and men. Usually ladies ask her questions. I love it. And the things that she puts out are so helpful to these women. And also, she's a great mom, a great mother. And she does a great job as a wife, because right to her left there, you'll find her husband, Dr. Tank Craig. We call him Tank there. And Craig is a surgeon. He's a surgeon in many different ways, as he is a trauma surgeon. When somebody has a question, he's the guy they kind of ask, and he prayerfully asks God for guidance on how to take care of that. They've done mission work together in missions and helping people and in the Western Hemisphere, the Caribbean area, and in Africa also, many places. But they're just a blessing to our lives. And we thank God for them. And I know they're a blessing to your life, these three precious people in my life. They're great. I thank God for them each and every day. So Ron Greer in Texas, who's the other part of our team, he's out of town right now on a special thing. He'll be right back. But in the meantime, he had to miss tonight. He says to let all of you know he'll be back next week. So hang on to your hats. And the voice of South America Excuse me, that's Texas, you know. He'll be back with us next week. If you go to our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectation, as you know, you can read about those folks on the team. You can see some of the things they're doing. Get in touch with them. Let them know you're praying for them or ask a question. Get to know them just as we do each week. And you'll also find you can get tonight's show will be up, other shows. You'll find all of our shows for 4 or 5, going on 6 years, I think, there. You'll be able to find the different folks that have been in. We've got some great folks coming. We've got Kurt Schlichter. We've got Dr. James Robbins coming down the pike from Washington, D.C. And the person we have with you tonight is one of our favorites. She's an incredible voice for what is right in government, what we should know about our government, how we can be involved in our government. Now, Denise, as you may know, is someone who ran for United States Senate, and she was a representative of the state of California as a candidate. She's been on our program. You can remember we talked about these things, and there's a great picture for you. She ran. They missed out when they didn't get her for Senate, but who knows what's coming, because she's available to the Lord and always willing and sharing. Great thing is always helping people to better understand what's going on. She's going to be talking about California gubernatorial race, issues facing some of the candidates, and also it's pretty exciting tonight about the Middle East issues. There's a lot going on tomorrow. The meetings start, you know, with Iran and President Trump and all the staff there. That's a pretty big thing tomorrow. I've been praying for that already. And so she'll be sharing a lot about that with us. So what we want to do right now is give the round of applause, and we're going to welcome Denise with us tonight as she begins to share with us, Denise Gary Pandol, and we're going to welcome her with a round of applause. Welcome, Denise.
Thank
we're
you.
Glad you're here. And don't
Thank
worry,
you
I,
so...
I start taking Prevagen next week, so we'll be in really, really good shape. I'm not worried at all. I got tank up in the air.
All right. Very good.
Good
so
to have
I,
you.
I'd like to begin tonight by reminding our listeners that it is the 250th anniversary this year of the United States of America. And so many people that I've run into in the course of my life, whether I was in the classroom or on the campaign trail, they really don't know the depth of our Christian heritage and truly our Judeo Christian heritage. And I'd like to begin tonight by sharing a couple things. There's a book. So I've read numerous books, and you can see a little bit of my library behind me. But, you know, the light and the glory of our heritage is extremely important and should inform the education of our youth and our
Yes.
university students as well. And so, you know, I hope that people, the listeners tonight, will take some notes on a few of the things I'm going to share. For example, the Ten Commandments, according to, for example, John Adams, our second president. By the way, John Adams was not just our second president and one of the signers of the Constitution, and wasn't just part of the writing of the Constitution. He was also a very important diplomat that worked very hard to get the United States to victory in the Revolutionary War against oppression by the British. And one of the things that they talked about was that the Ten Commandments should be available to induce the school children to read, to meditate on, and to venerate and obey the commandments. That's something that one of the first Supreme Court justices of the United States of America, appointed by George Washington, spoke to. Another thing, James Wilson also affirmed the importance of divine laws. He was also appointed by President George Washington to be on the United States Supreme Court. And he said, quote, human law. So think of all the laws that have been passed by the United States Congress. Think about all the laws that are passed by the state of California. So many of them last year were transgender laws forcing children to have to be in a situation where they, you know, They didn't have to tell their teacher. They didn't have to tell their parents. They could change their body and nobody needed to be informed. I mean, transgenderism was incorporated into the curriculum. I mean, all kinds of things. So I'd like you to think about the fact that the leaders of the United States, including a Supreme Court justice, stated for the record, human law must rest its authority ultimately upon the authority of that law that is divine, meaning the biblical text. Far from being rivals or enemies, religion and law are twin sisters. Religion and law are twin sisters, friends, and mutual assistance. And I don't think our students today, as well as some of the older individuals like their parents, realize that law in the United States, as dictated in the Constitution and in our congressional laws, especially early on, were actually rooted in Judeo-Christian values. And so I wanted to share a couple more things. For example, when I was in Philadelphia and I was visiting Christ Church, I didn't realize that Benjamin Franklin, his daughter Sarah, along with George Washington and his wife Martha, and many of the other individuals that were involved in writing the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, our third president, and other signers of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution all attended Christ Church. They were members there. They were buried there because at the time, many times leaders were buried under the floor inside the church because those leaders that attended those churches were considered to be an important moral and righteous example to future generations. And so literally the church was built on the graves of these important, honorable individuals that believed in prayer, believed in reading the Holy Scripture. And I thought it was interesting in this, again, this book I'm reading is by David Barton. David
Yes.
Barton wrote America's Godly Heritage, and on page 43, it says the founders understood that America could only prosper under God's blessing. Benjamin Franklin wrote, without God's concurring aid, we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future ages. And I thought about another book in my library by Alexis de Tocqueville. He was a Frenchman that came to America and wondered, why our revolution was so very different from France's very violent revolution. And Alexis de Tocqueville pointed out in his book, Democracy in America, that the thing about America that made us so great, which made us exceptional, was our Judeo-Christian or our religious tendencies and leanings and focus and dedication. That's extremely important, I think, for people to start thinking about. And so I encourage everyone to pick up just a little book by David Barton called America's Godly Heritage. You just would be surprised at the number of things you learn going through it. And I'd like to say, I know several of the candidates that are running here in the state of California. If I could pivot now, talk about candidates for a moment. Knowing several of the candidates that are running in this state, and everybody that's listening to this broadcast, I'm sure across America, knows what a terrible situation we're in here in this state, this beautiful state we call the Golden State. There's no accountability to Democrats because there's not enough Republicans in the state assembly or the state Senate to hold Democrats responsible for the horrific things that they've been doing. And I'd like to say that the candidates I'm going to mention are candidates that I know or have met and listened to or spoken to that seem to have a focus on God and a real testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. And I'd like, for example, Steve Hilton. Steve Hilton, when I was on the campaign trail for United States Senate, he often showed up at events I was at because he was speaking too, I think, in an effort. He hadn't declared that he was going to run for governor, but I think he wanted to, as I had done, talk to people up and down the state. I mean, all the way up to, Modoc, which borders, Oregon, and all the way down to Imperial County and San Diego County that borders Mexico, and remind me to talk about the desire of many of the illegals to want to reconquer California for Mexico. I'd like to talk a little bit about that before we close, because it's a serious issue here, particularly in on campuses across California where they teach English to illegal immigrants as well as legal immigrants, and at universities and college campuses. But getting back to what I wanted to say, whether it's Siskiyou County or Modoc or Del Norte County, way up north or down south, he has gone to speak with and learn about all the very critical issues. And I know, for example, water, when you think about water, there really needs to be a national strategy with respect to it, because here in our state, it's a man-made crisis. And if we just did what the Israelis have done and built desalination plants and more reservoirs and had off-stream reservoirs and had sanitation systems that could clean water, I mean, we would have such an abundance of water, there would never be another drought in this state again. But think about the price point. The bill I get every month in the mail from the water company is terrible. Steve Hilton talks about oil and gas. He was just in my area and he was addressing the oil and gas industry. The oil and gas industry brings in over $10 billion to the state of California. And yet, what's happening?
Was leaving.
The Democrats are closing the oil companies, well, working to tax them to the point where they close their offices here in California and move to another state and closing refineries. So we used to have numerous refineries up and down the state, and another one is being closed in Benicia, which, by the way, used to be the capital of the state of California. But sorry, trivia there. The point that I'm making is that our refineries are being closed, and when refineries are closed and we can't process the oil, what happens? It forces everybody to not have enough oil and gas. So while across the nation today, thanks to President Trump and the Republicans, the price of oil has dropped to what is, I mean, I hear it's down to like $2.90 in some states. But here in California,
Not the
price of
same.
gasoline when I go to try to fill up my gas tank is still over $4 in some places.
4.50.
Now, I have to say, I went to Costco this week and I was able to get it, I think, for $3.98. But compared to $2.98 or under $2.98 in some states, it's incredible. So, and everything runs on oil and gas. I mean, think about your electric bill in your house or the gas bill in your house. I was thinking about Benjamin Netanyahu. The government of Israel has just been developing more oil and gas opportunities. As you know, in the Sinai Peninsula, before a Democrat president by the name of Jimmy Carter twisted Begin's arm, and as a result, Israel gave up the Sinai to Egypt, and so those oil reserves or natural oil and gas reserves have not been, penetrated and used. But Israel has nevertheless worked very hard to develop oil and gas, and they just signed a deal with Cyprus, and they're going to be exporting natural gas to Cyprus and are looking to build a pipeline under, under the sea. And of course, unfortunately, Turkey, an Islamist state, is working against Israel. By the way, just to jump one more time and I'll jump back to Steve Hilton, I want to say that I hope everybody reaches out to President Trump and their member of Congress, whether it's in the House or the Senate, to say that, really Turkey is the next Iran. I mean, Turkey is working to fill the vacuum because Iran has been so weakened by the Trump administration that Turkey has given Hamas officials sanctuary. It's given Al-Qaeda, ISIS. I mean, he's done everything he possibly could to support the Muslim Brotherhood, which was foundational to every terrorist group around the world and in the Middle East. This is why, under the Trump administration, some of the Muslim Brotherhood groups have been referred to now and have been, under executive order, declared terrorist organizations. They're at the root of terrorism. So, anyway, Turkey, just so you know, is trying to work to undercut the undersea lines that Israel's been developing in order to help provide natural oil and gas to Greece, to Cyprus, and to Europe, rather than having it come through Iran. But getting back to Steve, he's aware of how important the oil and gas industry is, and by making it abundant, you bring down the price so that the working poor in California can afford to buy food, but also get to work and buy medicine. And so, anyway, he's on it. Like education, when I ran for office, he too believes that parents should be put back in control and there
Amen.
should be freedom in education. And just, the regulatory overload. You've got to cut back, just as President Trump has been, having his, for example, the EPA secretary and secretaries of other cabinet level posts. They're working very hard in their specific subject arena to deregulate our economy so it'll make it more affordable. Look what he's doing on medicine. I mean, bringing down the price of medicine, trying to industrialize the production of medicine in the United States so we're not importing it from India and China. I mean, Steve Hilton understands this and he supports the president. So I just think that's very important, but also he's a praying man. Michael Gates running for attorney general. This is a guy, you could look him up. He's been the DA down in Huntington Beach. And Huntington Beach, as under his leadership as DA of Huntington Beach, he has done a lot to push back and countersue Gavin Newsom on all the things that he and the Democrats have tried to do to hurt this state. Nathan Magsig, who's running for state senate, a godly man. He's determined to bring accountability to Democrats. So those are just a few names of people that I'm aware of. Don Wagner. Don Wagner, I just moved up from Orange County. I was living in Orange County for a while, and Don Wagner is a supervisor down there. He's running for Secretary of State. He needs your prayers and support because he can help right this ship. Speaking of righting the ship in terms of voting, right? It's so important that we clean the voter rolls.
Go
And
ahead.
may I ask all your listeners to please write down this telephone number and please, wherever you are in the country, please contact your two senators from your state. The number for the United States Senate is 202 area code 224-3121. You say, why do you want us to call are United States senators, because the SAVE Act, which has already been passed out of the House of Representatives, is now sitting in the United States Senate. What will the SAVE Act do? It's fabulous. The SAVE Act is going to make it the law of the land that you have to show your photo. You have to prove that you are a U.S. citizen. So it's a photo identification that shows your United States Senate. It's called the SAVE Act. It's the National Voter Registration, is to amend the National Voter Registration Act of 1993 to require proof of United States citizenship to register an individual to vote. Here in California, we've had many illegals vote. Not only people that have broken the law, but people who are not citizens. Maybe they're a legal resident, but they're not a citizen and they're voting. You don't have a right to have a say in who represents the American people unless you're an American.
That's right. That's
Just
it.
makes sense. And so, of course, you should have to be able to show that you're a United States citizen and have a photo ID. And how hard is that?
That's it.
You
That's
can't
right.
even buy alcohol in a store in California. Everybody can tell I'm way over 21.
Right.
But you have to show your driver's license or some
Exactly.
form of ID to prove that you're over 21 just to buy a beer in California. I don't drink beer, but I'm just saying. You have to show ID to have an alcoholic beverage when you go to the grocery store, to get on an airplane. I mean, to get on a train, to take a bus. I mean, you have to have ID. Anyway, I think it's important that everybody call their senator and say, please, would you vote yes on the SAVE Act? We absolutely have to have voter ID. We need to know that everyone is a United States citizen. And let's see a picture. When I was teaching at one of the adult schools in Kern County, I used to have students that would come into the classroom one semester and have a name, and the next semester they'd come in and they'd have a different name. Because as people that came here illegally, they took on different identities, whatever suited them, whatever seemed most appropriate at the time. And, maybe they were hounded by the cartel, so they thought, well, I'll just change my name and use a different name, and maybe I'll get lost in the shuffle. I don't know. But the point is it's really easy to get an ID.
Yeah, Denise, what? Denise, on that thought right there, has really hit the news this week. And I wonder what you thought, maybe, I don't know about Georgia, but the president's made it very clear just how important this is. And Schumer, who's flipped his numbers again since the 90s to what he's saying now, it's dead on arrival. But executive order, that's made the news and been coming out on Newsmax and others. What's your feeling about it? And do you think something like that is. I don't find a precedent on that for anything like this, for an executive order.
An executive order. I'm sorry, I'm not clear.
Executive order, if
Executive
we
order
don't get
on what topic?
on the bill, the voting bill, if we don't get that bill
Oh,
through, if it's
yes, of
killed,
course, but
the
we need to
president.
sign it in. Right, yes. If they can't get it signed into law pretty
Right.
quickly, go ahead, Mr. President, and issue an executive order. The point that we need to be clear about is everything that this president has signed an executive order on needs to be passed into law so that, God forbid, a Democrat gets elected.
Right.
He can't, every time a new president is elected, they can, with a stroke of a pen, repeal or overturn that executive order with
Executive
a
order.
new executive order, right? I mean, you don't
Right.
even have to repeal it. You just write a new executive order that says something different, and that's it. That's why it's important for every listener to call their United States Senator at 202-224-3121 and say, get the SAFE Act signed into law. Let's get it passed so that it is the law of the land, and that's important.
Yeah,
so
I wonder. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, executive orders are great when you're, you know, under the gun, but you really need to have every executive order signed by the president passed into law by the House and the Senate. That's really
that's right.
critical. Can I share another piece of legislation I'd like to encourage your listeners to contact their representatives about? So in the House of Representatives, there's a law called for, well, there's a piece of legislation. It's H.R. 4090. Please write that down, H.R. 4090. It's called the Critical Mineral Dominance Act. The Critical Mineral Dominance Act, and it's to codify an executive order by the president. So let's just chat about it for a moment, okay? So rare earth minerals, as everybody knows probably by now, rare earth minerals are in everything. They're everything you touch, your phone, your computer, your iPad, your desktop, I mean, just whatever you touch, a rare earth mineral is involved.
Yes.
And so we can't have our supply chains coming from foreign entities like Communist
right.
China. Remember, Communist China has withheld from the United States things like antibiotics and cancer drugs in order to make our lives difficult here in the United States. So, and they've also withheld rare earth minerals. So the supply chain needs to be inside of the United States. And so this legislation, H.R. 4090, the Critical Mineral Dominance Act, I hope everyone calls their representative in the House and says to them, get it passed. And then let's get it over to the United States Senate. Very important. We just cannot depend on, in this very dangerous world in which we live, I mean, look at even the Europeans. I mean, the European, look at what Germany has done. You know, they've been importing oil and gas from Russia.
Yeah.
Russia is a geopolitical enemy of the United States of America, and they've been at war with Ukraine, a democratic ally of the Western world. I mean, you've got Russia helping Iran, helping China, and they're throughout the Western Hemisphere and in every almost every South American country and Latin American country. There's Hezbollah and terrorist training camps right in Tijuana in Mexico on the border with California. I mean, why would we keep enriching Russia and China and Iran, an axis of evil that kind of prop up each other and support each other militarily and economically and, you know, through trade and through the oil and gas industry? So, and through, you know, mineral dominance. So we have to do what the president is doing, and we need to encourage all of our representatives to say we've got to reindustrialize the United States, all of our manufacturing, every kind of industry, including like the steel industry. Everything needs to be right back here in America. And thank God President Trump and the Republicans have been lowering taxes on business. Speaking of which, I also wanted to say, you know, Steve Hilton understands the mountain of taxes small businesses are under here in California. And he wants to not just deregulate the economy here in this state, but help small businesses get out from underneath the regulation and mountain of paperwork that they're under. Very, very important. But let me just talk about a few other pieces of legislation that I think are very important. Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, has authored a bill in this particular Congress, the 119th Congress, called Senate Bill 3713. Senate Bill 3713 will require the advice and consent of the Senate to re-enter any international climate agreement. Now, an international climate agreement is what's been destroying Europe. And they were destroying their oil and gas industry and trying to get it from Russia or Iran, et cetera. But these climate deals have really hurt the United States too. And so what Ted Cruz is trying to do is legislate an executive order by President Trump. I mean, they're rolling back every kind of climate regulation in the country through the Secretary of the EPA, but nevertheless, it not, needs to be codified here in this, while we have Trump in office, that he could sign the legislation. So I hope. Does anybody have a question about that? That I mean, everybody understands that. I mean, some people in Germany have gone to cutting down trees and throwing them in the fireplace to get heat. I mean, literally, because the cost of buying the gas and look at Newsom right here in California. He hasn't spent any money on upgrading the infrastructure or of electric grids. I don't know how in the world he thinks that by shutting down all the refineries and making truck drivers have to buy electric trucks and vehicle drivers of cars have to buy electric cars. I don't know what he's thinking because we don't have an electric grid
No.
capable of handling that kind of stress. Plus the fact that our electric bills have skyrocketed for all of us here in California. We need a break.
People that don't live in California don't understand the extent of the power issues. I've explained the rolling blackouts that happen, how the only way you could get power for 2 weeks at a time was with a gas generator system. You put that whole expensive system in, and then they pass a law that says no more gas generators, and you go, what planet
What?
are we on? And you could not
Right.
even rent a home if you couldn't offer electricity. And yet they're saying this is the normal way you're going to live. Just expect it. And there's
Well,
not really a solution.
the solution is vote Republicans.
Yes.
The
I mean,
solution is vote Republican because Republicans are standing against the ridiculousness of this climate agenda. I mean, even the water issue, I go back to that because I think, why is are the Democrats who supposedly support the climate agenda having all of our water flow into the ocean? The rain falls over the ocean. The ocean has plenty of water. It's the people and the animals in our state that need the water. And if Israel can build desalination plants and off-stream reservoirs and they can sanitize water, for example, when it rains, and we have those muddy streams, come down the hills and mountains, Israel knows how to reclaim that water and purify it, make it clean, and move it all around the country, and we could move it all around the state. I mean, there's just so much we could be doing here that I wanted to do as a U.S. senator, but of course Adam Schiff got elected instead. Anyway, one other thing I wanted to share before we move off of legislation and onto other things: Senate Bill 3697. Senate Bill 3697. Again, doesn't matter where you are in the country. This is an important piece of legislation. It's a bill to amend the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act that will prohibit the approval of new abortion drugs. We don't need new abortion drugs. What we need is, if we have a law, we should have a law that makes it affordable to adopt children. I mean, I often wanted to adopt a child. I just couldn't afford it. I mean, it's like buying a new house. I mean, it's huge. It's hugely expensive. And as a single woman, I was unable to manage that and manage everything else. And then, of course, there'll be all the additional expenses of raising that child in a quality way and give them all of the opportunities that only money can afford. But like music lessons and sports and all of that costs money. So I'm just, if anything, we need to encourage adoption and make adoption affordable throughout the country so that people feel they can. But I'm also against the approval of these new abortion drugs. I mean, they put them on campuses and it's horrific. So I hope that everyone will call their senators tomorrow and work on that.
I don't know the specific abortion pills that are being added to that bill, but I can speak to the current ones on the market, and they're very, very dangerous because they're done at home, and it's very normal to have excessive bleeding, hemorrhage, and women are scared and they don't go in the majority of the time. Very, very dangerous. They should be supervised while they have those. So just for a saving a life of the mother, they shouldn't be handed out in the way that they are. It's very dangerous.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie, for mentioning that. I appreciate that. Okay. So I wanted to share that. Do you want to go on now to talk about, can I share another reason why we need to vote Republican here in this state and other states? I've been reading this book. I don't know how many of you have heard of it. It's a new book that's come out. It's called The Invisible Coup by Peter Schweitzer. Have you seen this book, ladies and gentlemen?
No, I haven't seen that one.
I hope everybody gets it. So it's, if you've got a lot of, well, everybody, every state in the union has illegal immigrants in their state. What's interesting is that this individual confirms what I experienced as an educator in the classroom. For example, Dolores Huerta is a Mexican American here in the state of California, and she has sued the high school in the area where I'm currently living multiple times. And I've been harassed and persecuted. And not allowed to exercise free speech rights in the classroom here either, because people like the school districts under Democrat control refer to you as a racist, which you cannot be an educator in this state and be called a racist or you'll be fired. But if you're in the classroom and you point out that Title VIII, Section 1132 or Section 1135 speaks to the fact that you cannot enter the United States unlawfully. You're a racist. You can't say, for example, that China working with drug cartels and narco terrorists is involved along with Hezbollah and Mexican drug cartels and human trafficking. And the organ harvesting of children and fentanyl drug trade throughout the United States of America. You're not supposed to ever mention any of that in the classroom, because if you mention the Chinese being involved with the Mexicans and Hezbollah, those are Muslims, Arabs, or Persians, all of that, anything that sounds critical. That's a national security threat to
Good.
people that live in our country. You're a racist and you're pushed out of the educational system, as I was. But I thought it was interesting that in this book, this guy had the guts to point out that even the former, Cruz Bustamante, the former lieutenant governor of California, was a m member of. And I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Mecha. It's a movement here in this state and other states to reconquer those territories that we won in wars against Mexico. For example, In 1821, Mexico received its independence from Spain, right? They had a bloody revolution. So Mexico was free from Spain in 1821, and it had government after government after government. In fact, James Polk, the president of the United States from 19, he was president from 1946 to 1948 during the Mexican-American War. In fact, he sent troops in because Mexico was not a law and order country. There was nothing but havoc and chaos in Mexico since it became independent from Spain in 1821. In fact, James Polk never knew who to talk to because they had like 47 different governments in charge of Mexico, like within a 2-year period. So when Mexicans coming across the border would kill an American or steal from American merchants, or American merchants trying to do trade in Mexico would have everything stolen and they'd get beaten up. There was no way. I mean, there were millions and millions of dollars that the Mexican government, Mexico, owed the United States because of this treachery and violence that was going on. Anyway, so the Spanish American or the Mexican American War ensued in 1846. Of course, we won it. And U.S. troops, won it so thoroughly that we marched right into Mexico City, the capital of Mexico. And of
Exactly.
course, we turned around and left, but it made the point, right, that they needed to get it together. Of course, they didn't to this very day. But the point that I'm making is, not only did we win the war, but then our government turned around and tried to help Mexico after we defeated them and gave them money for states like California. So just like the Louisiana Purchase, or we bought Alaska from Russia, or we've bought territory from various nation states, right? Or had wars with them and then gave them money. That was the situation. But we have students that are sitting in our classrooms. I've talked to them personally. This is not secondhand. This is my experience. And they say, you stole our part of our country, and we're here to take it back. And I wanted you to know that at the Democratic National Convention in 2012, that it was stated by the former mayor of Los Angeles, his name is Antonio Villaraigosa. He said it's not a question of whether reconquest will take place, but how and under what consequences. So I hope everybody that's listening to this broadcast understands that wherever illegal aliens are, their desire is to retake any and every part of America that once was under Mexico's control. That's part of an agenda that they've talked about even at the Democrat National Convention. It's kind of gone silent, but when you hear Democrats and even some Republicans say, well, let's grant amnesty to those that came here illegally, but they're working and they're hardworking. No, not at all. Because I know hardworking people that have come here illegally and now maybe have residency and are going to continue here, but they still have an agenda, and it's to vote for a Democrat because they believe that the Democrats will continue to spend taxpayer money giving them the social programs. They feel very entitled, giving them the social control, giving them the social programs and the medical resources free of charge that they want and demand. I've had students.
They don't understand this. Dave, I'm gonna have to jump in right here watching the clock. They don't understand that Zachary Taylor and the United States Army and Polk and everybody, they did not go down there like yours well stated to conquer. They simply went there to try to fix the mess so that citizens in California, particularly San Francisco and all, would still be able to Adobe Los Angeles what they went through. That's quite a story. And that's right at where it is. There's so many hidden agendas underneath, so many hidden agendas
There
so that
are,
people
and
would
people don't know it
understand.
because they don't, they're not talking to these individuals. They're not in the classroom or out of the classroom with them. I mean, I remember back in the day when I was at university and I was being told this. So it's
They've got, they're not, it's not honest. They don't have agenda and they don't have an understanding, and they're not, basically, they don't care to be illustrated or understanding history to see what the foundations of the situation is. They have one goal, and that's it. Love to chase that for a minute with you, but I'm going to have to take a moment here. Looked at our time. We only got like 2 minutes here, and we're going to have to reach out
time
to you for.
flies.
Oh no, it's great. We could be going on. This is great. Stephanie, would you do us the honors? You do it so well, and just share with the people quickly.
Real quick, I'll summarize it. So you can stay in contact with us by going to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. It's sort of just a landing page with a whole bunch of information. There's ways that you can donate, you can listen live, you can listen to prior shows, you can learn about each of us as co-hosts, how to contact us, Pastor Joe and Craig's book. So all kinds of goodies there. bbsradio.com/raising expectations.
Amen. It's there. Ladies and gentlemen, we just appreciate you tuning in. And we're so grateful for what you shared, Denise, tonight with us.
Oh,
We'll have to do a rerun
I
and get
hope I
some more
haven't got you
going.
in. I hope I
No,
haven't gotten
this.
you in any trouble.
Oh, no. We're good. We love, let me tell
Okay.
you, there's nobody like BBS Radio. Nobody in
Okay.
Canada TV. They're
That's
wonderful,
good.
BBS Radio TV. They're family to us. But,
Okay.
Folks, listen, do some study, do some history. It's exciting to know how we got here so you can understand to do what to do now that we're here. And so the station and everybody wishes you well, Denise, and we'll be
Thank
back
you.
in
I
touch
wish
real soon.
everybody, and I
Amen.
wish everyone well also.
Amen. God bless you and keep your blessing. And
Can I say if anybody needs a speaker, 661 area code 747-1829, they can call me,
there
Denise
you
Gary
go.
Candle, if they're looking for a speaker. Just and I'm going to put up on my Facebook page my speaker series for 2026. I have some exciting
Okay.
topics that I'd like to talk about.
That's great. Well, we'll talk some more too, and we'll get it up on BBS with you. We'll bring you back
Thank
ASAP on
you.
some of these things. Absolutely. God
Thank
bless
you.
you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks,
You, all of
everybody.
you as
Paul?
well. All of you. God bless you
Okay.
too.
All
Okay.
right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Good
Okay.
to see you, Paul. Bless
Good
you.
to see you.
On the
Bye-bye.
East Coast, great Southeast Coast there. Thanks, Steph. Thanks. God bless you. Love and appreciate you all. All of us wish you well. May God reach you at the deepest point of your need this week and give you not only a victory, but a joy that goes with it when you learn more about what he's doing just for you in your life. Thanks a lot. We'll see you again, same time, same station next week, and we'll bring Denise back. Don't worry, we'll get you. Okay. See you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, Denise.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.